This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07. First up, a conversation about political funding and who should control it.
So this is coming by way of Kuli, basically, Tan Sri Tengku Razali Hamza, UMNO veteran, former finance minister, who suggested, I want to say a month ago now, for the election commission to take control of all political funds to be used for election campaigns. And this is to ensure better monitoring of the money that is going out. He suggested that the EC request all parties to submit proposals on the estimated amount that they would need for campaigning or elections. And this is to prevent politicians or political parties from abusing funds during this period, and additional sums that are spent beyond the initial estimate would then be charged back to the party.
Right. So a number of things that he suggested to further discourage misuse of funds, for instance. He said that candidates should be barred from the election if the EC detects that an excess of funds has been taken out. And this is regardless of whether the candidate won or lost the election.
So this circles a number of things that have come up in our country, right? Most notably money politics, not just in the sense of what happens once somebody is in power, but what happens to keep them there or to get them there in the first place. And so this idea of having a closer audit of the spending, I think, is very salient and quite interesting. Now, whether we want that centered in the EC, I think is something else and something that we can talk about. But the premise that if you have to submit a proposal and say, okay, this is how I'm going to use the money, X amount is going to be spent booking a hall, X amount is going to be spent putting up buntings. I actually think that's quite interesting, especially because I also wonder whether that somewhat, so is it like a central kitty? Is that the conversation now?
You know what it sounds to me like? It sounds like when you do Jawatan Kuasa and you have to organize events.
Exactly.
And you have to send in a proposal. And we talk a lot about it. We hear from listeners who say this too, that politicians, political parties should be run more like corporate organizations, right? And this seems to me like a step in that direction. On paper, cautiously, I think it could work. Again, I think it goes back to how people feel about the Election Commission, really, and whether they think that that's the body that should be managing it. Because, I mean, let's be honest, in the past, there have been questions raised about their impartiality as well.
Yes, but I think it's also worth pointing out that our guest, actually, Dr. Edmund Terence Gomez, also talks about other ways in which money enters the picture, right? And he has spoken before about the need for a system to monitor the cost of political activities in constituencies, and pointing out things like the allocation of funds for rural constituencies being too low if you consider travel costs, and that the money that's actually needed for politicians to do constituency work is limited and based on the ground needs. So I think that opens up a separate but related conversation about how much money is allocated for different politicians, and also how much money is spent within constituencies, because we're continuing to spiral and make this a large issue. But this is also related to the size of constituencies and how they're not all made equal.
All of which to say, we are today looking at a suggestion that the Election Commission basically centralise and take control of all political funding to make the process more transparent. We'd like to hear from you. What do you make of this idea? Do you think it'd work? You can call 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be joined by Dr. Edmund Terence Gomez, former professor of political economy at University of Malaya. So keep it here on the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Bigotry-free Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
It is 5:11. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're talking about a proposal for the Election Commission to take control of political parties' fundings for elections. And whether that's viable, whether that would increase transparency within the system, we'd like to hear from you. Do you think this idea would work? You can call 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're joined now by Dr. Edmund Terence Gomez, former professor of political economy at the University of Malaya. Dr. Terence, thanks for joining us today. Now, former Finance Minister Kuli has called for this proposal for the EC to take control of all political funds when it comes to election campaigns. What do you make of this?
This is a excellent suggestion from Tengku Razali. It's about time that the Election Commission has been further empowered to regulate the financing also of elections, as well as the conduct of elections.
And how would the suggestion work to prevent parties from misusing or abusing funds during elections?
Let me take you back in history so that you can understand why Tunku Razali's suggestion is important. What we have now in terms of regulating elections are just basically the Election Offences Act, as well as the Societies Act. The Society Act covers the running of political parties, while the Election Offences Act regulates the conduct of the elections. Now, the problem with this system is that this was introduced during the period soon after independence, and it's been in place since then. Why we have a problem with this system is that it has not moved with the times. Let's take first the Election Offences Act and the role of the Election Commission. The purpose of the Election Offences Act is to ensure there's a level playing field in the running of the election. Do we have a level playing field in the running of the election? The purpose of the election is to allow all parties who have a legitimate right to contest to enter an election. Thus, the Registrar of Society allows all parties who wish to enter, new parties in particular, who wish to enter into an election to be registered on time to allow them to run in the election. These two questions clearly indicate what is not transpiring in this country today. I want to address this issue specifically by looking at the point of political financing. Now, why this is problematic is that there's an unlevel playing field where some parties have more access to money than other parties. This is particularly problematic with regards to the new parties. For example, MODA, when they entered the election, they clearly said that they had a big problem in terms of raising funds to compete effectively in the election. How is this a fair system? So what needs to be done here when we look at Tunku Razali's suggestion is he's proposing the first step: make the Election Commission independent. Take away the powers that the Registrar of Society has to determine entry of a party into the political system. Give those powers to an independent body like the Election Commission to allow for the regulation of parties, as well as to also regulate how these political parties run themselves. Within the parties, how is money being obtained from the public arena? Is there disclosure, transparency in the way in which they receive funds as well as spend it?
So why is accountability and transparency important then when it comes to funds used for election campaigns?
Well, just look at the recent past, the scandals that we have had to deal with. The first scandal, of course, is 1MDB. The primary issue behind 1MDB was the fact that 2.6 billion ringgit entered the personal account of the then sitting Prime Minister Najib Razak. Najib, by his own admission, said this money, apparently a donation from abroad, was then used for the 2013 general election. This itself is a clear indication of how unfair the system is. There was no disclosure of this 2.6 billion ringgit entering into our political system through the personal account of the Prime Minister, which was then used in a general election. I'm fairly certain that such monies could also be used during party elections. That's the first problem. The second case which we looked at was what we refer to as the court clusters. There were a number of politicians, senior politicians, who were charged in court for having received money from the private sector, from private businesses, which they called or referred to as donations. The volume of donations that these ministers received was huge. So if you look at those court cases, there too, there's a reference to the defense made by these ministers or these people who were charged was that they received a donation. Now, the law is clear. There's nothing wrong with the current legislation with politicians receiving such donations. And this is why one of those former ministers who was charged in court his case was dismissed. But the larger issue here is this. Look at the volume of money that entered covertly into the political system through these means. Look at where the money went into. It was used for electioneering purposes within the party as well as during general elections. Was there disclosure of this? No. Until the case was exposed, we had no clue about this huge sums of money that was entering the political system.
So what are some potential gaps then to having the EC manage election funds?
First thing that we have to do, and this is very important, we have to ensure that the Election Commission is truly an independent body. The impartiality of the appointments to the EC, this is extremely important. How independent really is the Election Commission in terms of how the members are appointed? Who decides in terms of the appointments of these people in the Election Commission? The nominations come or the recommendations come from the Prime Minister. That itself raises a lot of questions. Second, we must also look at the membership criteria of the EC. Who are the people? What kind of people do we want to be sitting in the EC? The other issues we need to look at, including the terms of office, the term of office for the EC members. We have had an election commissioner who was around for two or three decades. Is that proper? There should be a constant renewal of the EC members also to ensure fresh ideas come into the system. And what of accountability of the EC? Who ultimately is the EC accountable to? Once those recommendations are put in place, that's when I say the empowering of the Election Commission, it becomes meaningful for monitoring the elections to ensure it's conducted in a free and fair manner.
So Tengku Razali also said that a candidate could be barred from the election if the EC detects an excess of funds have been taken. What's the impact that this might have on the way that elections are run in the future?
At the moment, under the Election Offences Act, what really is monitored during the election is what happens from the time in which the campaign starts. And the volume of money that you can spend during the campaign is well stipulated in the Act for the State Assembly position or if you're running to secure a seat in Parliament. But what is important is what happens in the period in the run-up to the election, in the period before nomination. A lot of money is also spent during the period when the Parliament is dissolved and when the nomination process takes place. The other point that we need to address here, which is also important, is the Act stipulates what a candidate can spend during an election. The Act does not stipulate what a party can spend. So a candidate will probably spend 50,000 and he'll declare he spent only 50,000 to try and win the State Assembly seat. But the party may have spent 500,000, 5 million ringgit. And they don't have to account to anyone for the volume of money that was spent. But that money was also spent in that particular constituency to help this particular candidate. So a distinction should be made between party and the candidate. Both party and candidate cannot spend more than the stipulated amount. So here what Tengku Razali was alluding to was probably this point that I've just raised, that we have to monitor very carefully how much a candidate spends during, even in the run-up to the election too. What were his sources of funding? If we have funding coming from very powerful business interests, this is also problematic. Those business interests will fund a candidate or party because they want to have what is known as state capture. If you have state capture, what I mean is if the party wins a particular election, secures control of the government, they can dictate public policies that are produced by this government. And these new policies may not necessarily be fair to the people, to the Malaysian public. It will probably favor the business interests themselves. So this is why disclosure also of the sources of funding to a candidate before an election is very important, so that the electorate knows who exactly is funding them. If I, for example, know a particular businessman is funding a politician who's running in my constituency, I may not want to vote for that politician because I have great fears of what this business figure, this powerful business figure could do if he has control over this politician who now sits in Parliament or in Cabinet.
And what sort of pushback might there be if this suggestion goes forward?
In 2018, when the Pakatan government won the election, they promised reform of the Political Financing Act. When they lost power in 2020, nothing had come of it. They're now well into 2022, and there's been a lot of talk about the need for a Political Financing Act to curb money politics and corruption in this country, which is now serious. where is the support from this from across the board of all political parties? I can tell you now, it's very difficult to get political parties, whether in the opposition or Partido Nacional, to endorse such an act. That's where the problem really lies. There's no political will among politicians for such an act because all parties now have access to financing, to money from various sources. Let me end by making one more point. In 2018, when we had the general election, of the 13 state governments, 8 different political parties had control over these 13 state governments. 8 different parties. When these 8 different parties secured control over a state government, they also secured control over the state's resources, and that includes the state's government-linked companies, the GLCs. So at the federal level, you have the party in power controlling a huge block of GLCs, which are a major source of political financing, a covert source of political financing. And at the state level, you also have 8 different parties controlling states, which also have control over GLCs, which are also a significant source of resources for political financing.
Now, you've been quoted before saying that a system was needed to reflect the cost of political activities in each constituency and that the amount of money for constituency work is limited. Why is this important?
To run a party is not cheap. You need access to funds for your party headquarters. You need to hire staff to run the party. You need to mount your mobilization of the supporters, you have to mount campaigns, which are also expensive. Where is all this money going to come from? This money should, by right, be found in and given to political parties in a manner in which it is transparent and accountable. And this is why one of the proposals that we made to ensure that parties can run a fair campaign and can also ensure that they have sufficient funds to develop themselves as a political party that functions in a vibrant democracy. We propose public funding. We also propose limits on the volume of funds that a party can secure during when they go out and secure donations. So we, among the things that we suggested was to stop this idea of secret funds where you get donations, to support this idea that you must stop foreign funding, to ensure that there are limits, to set limits on the contribution and expenditure that parties can indulge in. What we proposed was to they can have donations from the private sector, but it must be a limit and it must be transparent disclosure. At the same time, we also said to supplement that, to help them, we must also provide for public funding.
In closing, what are your hopes for our politics to be financed in a more accountable way by the next election? I mean, what needs to happen for us to achieve that?
We've had a series of state elections where there were serious allegations of money being used to capture votes. If we know that we're going to have a general election, if we want to ensure we want to have a fair general election, if we know that in the recent elections of the recent past, that money was used in a covert manner, in an improper manner, then why is it there is this hesitancy to introduce this political financing act? Clearly, since there is no political will on part of the politicians in power across the board, we have to turn to civil society. So civil society now has to play the role. There must be an active campaign in civil society, and they are trying their best. They've been trying to do this since 2008, as I said. But we really need to mount an effective campaign to put pressure on the politicians to introduce this act as soon as possible. I see that as our only hope moving forward, because we cannot depend on our politicians to bring about this reform that we've been talking about.
Dr. Terence, thanks for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Edmund Terence Gomez, former professor of political economy at the University of Malaya, speaking to us about a proposal from Tengku Razaleh to put the election commission in charge of political funding for election campaigns. And so we've been asking you for your thoughts. Do you think this idea would work? You can call 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have this from Daniel on this.
So Daniel says, if the EC is controlling the money for elections, might that mean we see more parties coming out to get funding?
That's an interesting one, because I think presumably parties are already operating on funding. What we're talking about is transparency into what they're spending it on.
Yeah, because even if they do come out, they're still going to have to spend it on bun things.
Yeah, because EC's not handing the money out, to be clear.
Exactly.
So keep those thoughts coming. If you'd like to weigh in on whether you think this is a good suggestion, you can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.